on this podcast, it's Reveal. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's October 29th, 2024. Hard to believe it's almost November as we're in the last few days of October. But you know what that means? That means basketball season is officially upon us. The Boilermakers have played one unofficial game, a charity scrimmage, which we'll get into more detail here in a little bit, against Creighton. They were on the road there on Saturday. They have an exhibition at home coming up tomorrow night, and then the official season opener a week from last night, next Monday night against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. With all that said, I'm Tanner Lee Coast. Evan Webb is joining me. Webby, what's going on? I know you are pumped.
I am. If you listen closely, when you said that November means basketball, it was just that sound you heard was the collective sigh of relief from every Purdue fan out there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a sigh that we have come to know all too well, but especially this year. But we've never had the excitement coming off a national championship runner-up season.
Yeah, that is new for us.
So that's new for us. I would like that to become a regular feeling, though.
Yeah, I'd be all right
with
that.
Maybe not runner-up, maybe just defending champs, taking one step further.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine with that.
But with all that said, you did we got to get to a question real quick.
Yep.
Cameron Day on Facebook, could Anthony Richardson make more than five completions on this Purdue team? Yeah. Yeah, he can.
The question is, would he tap out before he
I don't know what he was thinking. That's where his immaturity comes out a little bit. Just should have said, I was a little nicked up. Took myself out of the game. Even if you're tired, like I believe he was, never admit that. NFL media. It's hard to come back from that statement. But that's why the Colts decided to make a switch to old man Flacco today. But you did pay the $10, which went to a good
seven. It was only seven.
Oh, only seven.
It went down. Yeah, it was seven. At least the when I bought it at like $7.50.
What charity did the proceeds go to? For the charity exhibition, do you have any idea?
I don't remember. I saw a tweet that it raised $150,000.
It raised $150,000. Yeah, awesome. That's where I was going with that.
The charity, I cannot remember. I want to say it had something to do with tornado relief, but I'm not 100% sure. That's just me thinking, I guess, just because of the geography. But yeah, I do not know. But overall, it was I kind of forgot halfway through that it was Nebraska. It was a Creighton broadcast. Until someone on the boards mentioned it, and I was like, oh, that is, like, because they were like really good and like not like, I mean, yeah, they
was
were
the normal guys, like the radio guys, or was it
students? I have no idea. They definitely weren't students. They were definitely like guys that it's like they had been doing at least they so it might have been the radio guys, but they were entertaining, super complimentary of Purdue, which was awesome. I mean, it was an exhibition, so it's you can't really be, I mean, too hard.
Oh, you could.
I mean, you could. Yeah, I would be. but the overall it was. I thought it was a great. I mean, I texted you and Andrew. Like, it's better than half the crap that BTN throws out there with some of their commentators and play-by-play guys. Overall, it was good. I wasn't sure going into it. Thad Mooney. Yeah, Big Ten Plus should take notes. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're not getting my money this year. Yeah, well, no. I did it last year, then I did it. So we'll see.
I have yet to do it. I should have. There was that whole, like, I don't know if it was a glitch or whatever, but there was that whole thing when the four teams joined that there was a promo going on. If you, like, used a promo code with one of the four teams, you got it for, like, free, I think it was. And I didn't do it because I'm an idiot. Presentation was awesome. I had some issues. So actually, full disclosure, I had issues where the stream was not working for me on my computer. I had to, like, I disabled ad, you know, my pop-up blocker, all that kind of stuff, which it's a work computer. So that might have been an issue too, but it sounded like a lot of people were having issues. I got it pulled up on my phone originally, which was kind of annoying because I was trying to give you and Andrew updates. And then I saw someone post on the boards that there was like a Creighton or like a Nebraska public broadcast website that was broadcasting the game for free. Mm-hmm. So I still pay, but I actually watched it on my computer for free, but I still paid. So I felt okay with money going to charity still. I wasn't sure going to this. I know in the past, I don't know if this was the case for the Arkansas game last year, because I know we weren't able to really watch it, but do we know if were people fouling out in that scrimmage, or was there
there was no foul limits if I remember correctly.
Okay, so there was in this game, because I wasn't sure if there was, because Will Berg picked up two pretty quick fouls.
I'm pretty sure Arkansas had a dude playing with seven fouls.
I think that's right. I couldn't remember if it was that, because obviously you hear about that like in the secret scrimmages, but I couldn't remember if that was, I was trying to remember that, I can't remember if that was a legit memory, if I was just, I was making it in my head, but this game there was foul limits. It was like a real game. So I wasn't even sure too if Purdue was going to be wearing like their practice jerseys, but they were wearing their real, their true uniforms, which was cool to see just for like the freshmen and the newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I mean, it was awesome to see, watch Purdue basketball again. Weird not seeing Evie out there for the first time, what feels like forever. The starters, which was, I predicted right on Twitter. However, I completely forgot that you and I predicted starters last week, and I completely negated that when I responded to someone's tweet. But it was Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, Jakari Harris, TKR, and Big Will Berg. And then going up against, you know, Creighton, who had Kalkbrenner, who's a fifth-year guy. Has been the Big East Defensive Player of the Year. I'm not sure if he's projected as the Player of the Year. I forgot to look that up.
I'll look it up.
But no, it was cool because it was, you know, two top 15 preseason ranked teams. Atmosphere seemed pretty good. It definitely didn't seem as hostile as Arkansas was made last year. We all know that was their national championship.
He's at least preseason Player of the Year via CBS.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's Creighton good. Predicted to finish third in the Big East. Second is Marquette, which Purdue will be on the road to Marquette here in a
couple weeks. Okay. And one's obviously UConn.
Kalkbrenner
was awesome.
Butler's ninth for anybody wondering. Ninth out of 11 teams.
Kalkbrenner was awesome. I can't imagine Purdue's going to play many big men who are as good as him this year. I hope they don't, because he kind of dominated at certain stretches. Will Berg kind of picked up two quick fouls. It kind of reminded me a lot of Edie as like a freshman and sophomore, just kind of being a little overly aggressive on defense. And he had to sit, so we got to see Daniel Jacobson pretty early on in the game. I thought he looked pretty good for a freshman. He's just small for his size, weight-wise. Like he was definitely getting bullied by some of the big men from Creighton, which I kind of expected, and it is what it is. It's going to happen this year. He's going to have to, if he can, you know, counteract it with his own offensive ability. He did hit a three, which was cool to see. Took it, you know, didn't even hesitate, knocked it down, looked really good. His free throw form looks pretty good for whatever reason. And this is just a me problem, but I don't think he dribbled. He didn't touch the ball with the other hand when he dribbles. He just dribbles with one hand, and that really bothers me before he shoots it. But it looked good, went in. But as I was texting you and Andrew, Braden looks awesome. He's definitely that dude. I mean, it's definitely, there's no question about it. This is his team, and this team's going to go as he goes. I do worry, you know, I worry a little bit about like how we saw 2 years ago with him as a freshman. If he has to play 36 to, you know, upwards of 40 minutes a game, does he just get worn down by the end of the year? But obviously now, him being a junior, his body is definitely much more equipped to handle that. But still, but even late in the game, he was hitting tough shots. Trakoff and Wren looked pretty good. Missed some bunnies here and there, but nothing. I mean, it's going to happen. Fletcher looked good. Jakari Harris and CJ Cox are going to be awesome. They're going to be fan favorites in Mackey, like from day one. Just their intensity on defense. They're picking up guys full court, which we haven't seen that from a Purdue team in a while. definitely got a little overly aggressive a little bit, which is going to happen with them being freshmen, and some more savvy, quicker guards are probably going to take advantage of that and maybe get by them, which we saw that a couple times on Saturday. No, overall, it was, I mean, I know Purdue didn't scout going into this game outside of just like personnel. There was no, they didn't really run a ton of sets from what it looked like. Defensively, it definitely was a struggle. They left a lot of guys wide open for three, and Creighton made them pay. I had the stats pulled up. I mean, Creighton went 13 for 28 for 46%. A lot of those were pretty wide open. But again, that, you know, some of that is just Purdue not being able to scout and kind of know their rotations and know kind of what was coming. You saw guys kind of getting lost out there a little bit, lost in rotations, but nothing, I mean, nothing that was overtly concerning in my opinion. I thought it was, as I kind of expected that to happen, especially for a little older team like Creighton was. Overall, it was just, I, you know, yeah, Purdue lost. I really didn't care about that. I was just, as long as we really didn't get blown out of the gym and no one got hurt, that's really all I really cared about. Offense looked awesome. I mean, like I said, we scored, I mean, what, 87 points. And actually out rebounded it, which granted they weren't missing a ton of shots, 33 to 31, which is definitely going to be a key. Seven turnovers, which was, you know, which was a good sign. I'm trying to think here. Free throws, which probably would be one, you know, if you want to nitpick about some stuff, shot 15 of 24 for 62%. And a lot of that was kind of buoyed by Fletcher Lure going 7 for 7. You had a lot of guys going 2 for 4 or 2 for 5. But, you know, first game in a way, not, so we'll see if that, the shuffle is not a trend all year, but overall it was, I was encouraged by what I saw.
Yeah. I like these charity scrimmages instead of the quote unquote secret scrimmages. Cause now you give fans an opportunity to watch it. And if you do have to pay for it, it goes to a good cause, or attend the game if you can do that. And it beats like tomorrow, Purdue's playing Grand Valley State, 7 o'clock at Mackey. It's on Big Ten Plus. Give me a charity scrimmage all day long and eliminate. I mean, remember you used to play 2 exhibition games?
Yeah. That was rough.
Maybe someday we eliminate exhibitions altogether, but I don't think we're there yet by any means.
Yeah.
And it helps those schools get paid too. So
yeah, and I think it just only helps. I mean, like I said, outside of, like, you know, people getting injured, I think it just only helps, especially these these young guys of getting a chance to see, you know, legit competition versus it being Alabama when they come to town. Like that's hopefully, obviously, it's still gonna be a, you know, a shock, I'm sure, but like at least it's not something that they, you know, it's not the first time they're seeing legit competition outside of their own team.
Yep, and we've seen other sports, NFL cut back by a game on preseason games, NBA, NHL, I think MLB's cut spring training down a little bit. College football's still the only one that doesn't have any sort of exhibition style, and I don't think they'll adapt that anytime soon. Wouldn't be the worst idea, I don't think, if they could fit in one somewhere, but they don't care what we think.
So, yeah.
But looking at the schedule, there's a lot of good on conference matchups. You got Alabama coming to Mackey Friday, November 15th. That's a 7 o'clock tip on Peacock. It's the night before the senior day football game against Penn State. So hopefully it'll be a real fun weekend for Purdue sports. At Marquette, I mentioned that earlier. That's right after the Alabama game. That's a 9 o'clocker up in Milwaukee, November 19th. I don't know if Marshall's supposed to be decent or not. That's a weird one. That's Big Ten Plus at noon on Saturday. That's really odd. That's one to see. I say I'm not going to order Big Ten Plus, but like I might have to for that game. Playing NC State, rematch from the Final Four out on Thanksgiving out in California. Then the next day, either getting BYU or Ole Miss. I mean, we're not going to put too much concentration on the exhibition games, but Ole Miss took Illinois to the woodshed.
Yeah, they look good. They look good.
The other night. And if we play BYU, then Cannon Catchings, old friend there. Then you got your two Big Ten games, Penn State and Maryland, at Penn State and Maryland at home. Then you got Texas A&M and the Indy Classic. They should be a solid opponent. And then Auburn on a neutral court down in Birmingham, Alabama, on the 21st, and then a Toledo team that's had good teams in the past. So, I was going to ask any matchup jump out to you on paper, but I mean, of course, Alabama's going to jump out. And actually, really, everyone I noticed kind of jump out.
So. I had a question for you. So,
yeah,
looking at kind of the four big ones, we'll say, because obviously, I mean, there's a lot of good matchups, but looking at Alabama at home, at Marquette, Indy Classic versus Texas A&M, and Birmingham Auburn. How would you rank those from most confident to least confident in Purdue winning?
I think right away you got to, I want to put Alabama as most confident because it's at home, but it's Alabama. They're going to be ranked in top three. I mean, they're really, really good. So it was A&M, Auburn, Marquette, and Alabama. I'm going to put A&M as the most confident down in Indy. Then I'll follow that up with Auburn as second most confident.
Okay.
Then Alabama. And then the toughest one I think will be at Marquette.
Okay.
Yeah. But if I hope Purdue proves me wrong. I've said it the last 2 years, like we both said, no way they go undefeated non-conference. But I really think Purdue's gonna drop at least two games.
It could be back to back with that Alabama.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If I had to put money down, I'd probably say they drop, which I'm fine with if they're competitive.
As long as they learn from it too. That's the one thing.
Learn from it. Yeah. Learn and grow. I mean, we go back all the time to the 18 and 19 team that should have made the Final Four. They were 6-5 coming out of the non-conference. I hated that team. Didn't think they were learning anything.
Blown out at Texas. Carson went off for 40, but that team just like,
lost to Notre Dame. That's when I was like, okay. Like you said, as long as they learn from it. I mean, a lot of very good tests. And San Diego, little tournament's not going to be a pushover. I mean, it's not what we signed up for originally with Notre Dame and Arkansas supposed to be in it. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. So, and then the Big Ten. Conference as a whole, I think it's going to be a solid conference, but I don't think it's going to be as tough. Or let me say this. I don't think they get as many teams in the tournament as they have recently.
Yeah, I think you're going to have some like solid teams. I mean, it's so hard to tell nowadays, but you're going to have an elite team like you had with Purdue last year. I think you'll probably have top five or teams that are ranked between 15 and 25. I don't know if you'll see a team that will crack the top 10 as of right now.
I think your bottom is going to be pretty bad.
Bottom could be pretty bad. But could be exciting though. I mean, you got Rutgers, who's got two top five recruits with Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. That could be really exciting. Illinois's got an entirely new team. Their starting five on Sunday was all completely new guys for their team. You wonder how those guys can gel. Same kind of with Indiana. They've got a ton of influx of new guys, obviously full of talent, but can they gel? I know a lot of people are picking UCLA as one of the teams that can win the Big Ten. I don't know a ton about them. I know that they brought in Sky Clark, who Purdue fans will know from Illinois fame, and also he went to Louisville, and now he's in UCLA. But Mick Cronin's a hell of a coach. Obviously he coached at Cincinnati, right?
Yep.
So he's got some Midwest ties. It'd be cool to see UCLA come to Mackey. That'll be really fun. Mm-hmm. Musselman's at USC, so that's just the psycho coming. I think they come to Mackey too, so that'll be fun. I think it's just a lot of question marks, a lot of kind of. And you wonder, like, a team like Michigan, who was awful last year, who may not have like the best roster on paper, but I mean, Dusty May is a good coach, and he brought some guys that know how to win from FAU to Ann Arbor. So they also, obviously got some talent in as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if they crack, the top five. And then obviously, big question marks with Ohio State, with Diebler being the official head coach for the year.
I think that was a mistake, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. So I think exactly you're right. Kind of roundabout way of saying, there's going to be some really solid teams, a lot of average, and some pretty bad ones.
Well, and I think it's more difficult to predict how basketball teams are going to be coming out of the offseason with the portal than it is football and football stuff too. It's just the new landscape of college athletics. But I think basketball's even more difficult for teams. Yeah. I mean, I think it's it's, you know, Purdue's definitely got question marks, but it's, they got a nice foundation for sure coming back.
Yeah.
That's been through the ringer. And
which is probably why a lot of people pick Purdue to win the conference.
Exactly. That's where I was going with it.
Yeah. At least three returning starters from a really good team and brought back a lot of other pieces.
That's exactly where I was going with it. If somebody right now told you Purdue's going to be a top five seed, not overall, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 in a region in the NCAA tournament, would you take it right now?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Me too. I know a lot of people still, if they're better than that, fantastic. But I do think there is going to be a step back from last year's team to this year.
I mean, if you're a five seed, essentially
you're a top 20 team. Exactly.
Which is kind of where I think this team is going to be. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
Maybe creeping up to flirting with that top 10. Like if you beat in Alabama, maybe say you lose against Bama, but you beat Marquette, you beat Auburn, you beat Texas A&M, like that's, and you're kind of obviously take care of the teams that you're playing. Definitely they can crack that top 10 potential. There's a lot of good teams out there, obviously.
I think this Purdue team's going to be good. I just think fans need to be patient. I think it could take them a little while to get going in the offseason. We've already went over their gauntlet of a non-con schedule. So, but, you know, I guess if I'm predicting how many losses do they have in non-con, I'll predict they get out of non-con with two. Two losses. They can have as many. I think they could have as many as four, and I wouldn't
panic. Or five, I think, yeah.
And I wouldn't panic. Yeah. Now, if they get up to like six and lose pretty much every tough game or coin flip game, then I'm like getting looking nervous.
At that four games we talked about, the Bama, the Marquette, the A&M, the Auburn, I think you got us at least split. You gotta win at least two. I don't know how good Texas A&M is gonna be. You know, Auburn, they're gonna be athletic. We know that, and it's Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, and that's pretty much a road game. I mean,
yeah. But if you can escape with two, I'm fine there. And then the tournament in San Diego, I think you gotta win. You gotta beat NC State.
Yeah. They should be down, I think, this year too.
Yeah, they should. And then
they were down last year till the conference tournament, and then they got hot.
Yeah. I think that's, and you obviously can't drop your, you know, MAC level teams, which again, they still have some solid opponents like Toledo. They're a solid team. Marshall's a solid team. It's fun. You know, they got Texas A&M Corpus Christi to open up on Monday, and that's Steve Lutz's old squad before he left for Oklahoma State. So that would have been cool to have him back, but maybe we can get an Oklahoma State game at Purdue in the near future.
Sorry for everybody that might be watching. I saw my disgruntled face. The Yankees are already down 2-0 going into bottom of first. Freddie Freeman hit another home run. So,
oh my god,
straight, stupid, just ridiculous. I've been a bad baseball fan this year, but then started getting into it when the postseason started, and this is why I don't get into it, because I just get frustrated. So, Purdue and the Broncos give me enough frustration. Yeah, Thad, you know what? You and your Red Sox fandom, go back, stay home in Texas. I don't need that.
It's a great documentary on Netflix about.
I'm not watching it. I saw it the other day. Popped up a recommendation.
I haven't seen it. I want to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Any other team, but I don't want to relive that crap. Try not to go down rabbit hole there, but that's why I was just looking at my phone and, oh, God. Glad I'm doing a podcast. Let me put it that way. I'd be rather talking Purdue hoops than watching that garbage. First inning. How do you do again? Two nights in a row.
That's how you really feel.
Whatever. Going back to Purdue's schedule, looking at the Big Ten part, and we've talked about this. The end of it's got to be the gauntlet. You know, your February, just looking down at towards the end, starting on February 14th. Oh, actually, February 11th, you have a trip to Ann Arbor, and then February 15th, home against Wisconsin, February 18th, up in East Lansing, February 23rd, down in Bloomington, February 28th, hosting UCLA, March 4th, hosting Rutgers, then March 7th, our one matchup with Illinois over there in Champaign, which the Big Ten schedule makers are really liking. Putting that Purdue Illinois matchup at the very end of the season, no matter where it's at.
Yes, it's last 2 years, I think. Yeah, because it was last year and the year before. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet. Yeah, I don't think. I think Michigan's gonna be a lot better. Wisconsin. We know what to expect at East Lansing. Again,
because on paper, Purdue should jump off to a pretty good Big Ten start.
Yeah, I guess that's my question. Would you prefer just knowing like the team we have now? So obviously we got, you know, a bunch of newcomers with Harry Harris, CJ Cox, Daniel Jacobson. I mean, you can essentially throw Will Berg out there too, because he's essentially a third year freshman.
And I'm not trying to pivot here, but this kind of lines up to, I think, what you're going to ask. Do you think Riley Burgess, I hope I'm saying his name right. Raleigh Burgess, do you think he ultimately redshirts or no?
That's a good question. He looked good.
I think
that's a lock. If you're a betting man. Raleigh's a really tough one. Because everything you just read about him, he's just an absolute spark.
He's got a motor to him.
You know, I think rebounding is going to be a really big question for this team. It's going to be a lot more team rebounding versus just like, the last couple of years, it'd be like, all right, the 7'4 guy who can actually rebound outside his area, go get it. You know, then maybe Braden get in there too. And, you know, Mason Gillis occasionally. But we don't have that now. You know, Trakoff and Wren isn't known for being a strong rebounder. Now, I was listening to a podcast and then people talking about that. And I was like, actually, if you look back at the Illinois game last year at Mackey, he was on a mission to go grab rebounds.
Yeah.
So if he can just channel that every game, that'll be huge. I think a guy like Caleb First could potentially do that. It's just, you know, can he find minutes on the floor? That's going to be a huge question mark. And then we know Braden can rebound really well. I didn't see him skying for rebounds a ton in this exhibition. I wonder if that was more of like, it's an exhibition, but I was also like, is he a little hesitant because of what happened, you know, in the Big Ten tournament where he got hurt?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even tweaked it against Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. But like, you know, I hear about Raleigh, he's just like an absolute motor out there. So
I still don't know if the minutes are there to justify not taking a red shirt.
I'd hate to say, but I feel like if he doesn't redshirt, it's because he's probably going to take Caleb's minutes. More than likely. Yeah. We need guys like, I've heard Will Berg is a great rebounder, but again, can he stay on the floor, you know, just with foul trouble or just like, he didn't look great offensively. Kind of got the ball, you know, taken away from him a few times.
On the Boiled Sports, it's usually their handsome hour, but last night it was just B Dowd instead. Jay Money and Anish had some schedule conflicts. So B Dowd just did a quick little show last night. Nimajaw Chalison tuned in and sent in. He was comparing Will Berg to Travis Carroll. What are your thoughts on that? B Dowd gave his thoughts. What are your thoughts on that comparison? Because I have mine, but I want to hear your thoughts.
I think Berg's gonna be better.
I think they're different players. I think Will's stronger and I want to say a little more athletic. I mean, Travis Carroll was more of a finesse fundamental player. If my memory serves me correct, in the 4 years Travis Carroll played, he's 6'10". I don't think he dunked the ball once.
Travis Carroll feels like, looking back now, feels like a. It sounds, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Travis.
No, we're not. We're not at all. It's just
like a discount Travion Williams in a way, like just like his body type. Like obviously Travion was great.
Both were number 50.
They did. Just from like a type of player, like a below the rim type player. He's like kind of a finesse, like neither one was going to blow you away with athleticism. I think Will's going to be one. Yes, they are very different players, I think, but I think Will's going to be pan out a little bit better because I think he has to, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think he's going to rebound a lot better. I think he's got some offensive game to him. It's just a matter of, can he have a chance to show it?
Yeah.
But that's a good question. But going back to the original question, gut feeling, yes, I think Burgess redshirts.
Yeah. And you were asking me a question before I kind of interrupted and put a question on top. We were talking about the schedule, getting off to a hot start in Big 10.
Would you rather with the team we've got, with the newcomers and the just kind of the question marks, would you rather have an easy start to the Big Ten and a tough finish, or flip it, like a tough start and in a easier finish to maybe get their confidence up going into a potential tournament?
Well, I could see the people saying tough start, especially because when you factor in winter break, getting in, yeah, students not being at some venues. But I'm going to stick with how the schedule is.
Yeah.
On paper, easier start, especially if Purdue does drop 2, 3, 4 plus games in a non-con. Need some of those games that look easier on paper, maybe to get the confidence built back up for the Big Ten season. And Big Ten play is different than non-con play. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a wake-up call no matter who you play for some of the more inexperienced guys and the freshmen. So, I like how the schedule is. I mean, I wish it wasn't so backloaded, but
that's all good. Yeah.
But you know what's beautiful about that? Everybody looks at their schedule like, oh, God, when do we have to go to Mackey?
Sure. You know, yeah.
Except the teams that we only go to, and they don't have any, like Illinois, they don't get the pleasure of coming to Mackey this year. So.
Yeah. And I'm excited about being able to see, teams like a USC come to Mackey. Rutgers would be cool just because, again, like they've got the, as much as I hate Rutgers because they're a thorn in Purdue's side. Just
not anymore. We got rid of that last 2 years.
Just seeing those talented freshmen coming to Mackey, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Those are guys who are legit, like top 5, top 10 NBA picks next year, more than likely, especially Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey is going to be an absolute stud. And then Dylan Harper, his brother, if we want to remember, broke Purdue's hearts when we got number one for 24 hours.
he also broke Indiana's hearts. He likes playing in the state of Indiana.
Yeah. But that'll be really cool. Again, UCLA coming to town. Purdue does only have one trip out west, and they do it, obviously, the way everyone probably does it. You know, they play at Washington January 15th, and then that Saturday, which is Wednesday, and that Saturday they play at Oregon.
Who changed their court, by the way, Webby. I don't think they have the crazy court like they did.
It still looks bad, but they did.
It's still bad, but they're not going to make your eyes bleed as much.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a stipulation. Like, if you're going to be on,
wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, if we're gonna put your games on prime time, like you got to change that abomination of a basketball court. They're talented too. They've got obviously the NIL
new coach.
Wait, Altman left?
I think he retired.
Did he?
I thought he retired.
I thought Altman.
I could be completely wrong, but I thought he retired. I'm an idiot. He didn't retire.
No, he's still there. Yeah, he's still there.
I thought he retired for some reason.
I know there was thoughts of him, like, because they weren't, they kind of started out, or it was 2 years ago when they weren't very good. There was kind of thoughts like, would he leave? Would he retire? And then I think they were pretty mediocre. They were okay last year, pretty mediocre. But they made the tournament.
They made the sweet.
Because what bracket were they in? Because I think they, I can't remember bracket there, I don't remember.
Were they in ours?
Maybe.
Oh God, I don't remember. I know they were in ours back in 2018 and 19 because we could have played them instead of Virginia.
Yeah, let's see here.
God, I don't remember. That's pathetic. Man, I don't remember the ours.
We are crushing it.
I've slept a lot since then.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were. Yeah, they lost to Creighton in the Sweet 16. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so they would have played Tennessee.
No, they didn't lose a Creighton in Sweet 16.
You're right. Sorry. Yeah. Round 32. Sorry. Yeah.
Second round, and then around, and Creighton lost to Tennessee. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Yep.
We're
almost there. We're putting the puzzle together. We had the pieces. Yeah. We just got.
but I agree with you. I think I would rather start out with a little to get these guys going. You just hope that the freshman wall doesn't hit at the same time as that gauntlet because it's a bad combination. But with some of those games, you hopefully you hope that because they're such big games that it's, you know, it gets them, kind of gets the juices flowing, gets them fired up versus like that was a Tuesday night game at Northwestern, like, you know, in
Milford. Talk about place I hate to play at.
But you wonder if Nebraska is a great example.
I hate playing there too.
Playing there too, yeah.
There's really no Big Ten video I like playing. No. Maybe these new four, I'll learn to like these new ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I don't mind playing Michigan State. It's always
fun. I just about said that. I don't yeah. mind playing up there because we have pretty good luck for whatever reason up yeah. there. Still even wish we got Madison, it twice.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
wish we got them twice. Even Madison. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. Izzo coming.
I don't like Columbus. I don't like Columbus.
No, I don't like Columbus. I hate Columbus. No, Izzo coming to Mackey is always it's up. I mean, it's like it,
oh,
is,
yeah.
it is right there with when the Hoosiers come to town of like just vitriol, especially from yours truly.
Illinois is getting up there for me too.
They are, yeah.
They're not there, but they're third. They're yeah. third easy. After this that, year, I don't know.
This year's hard because I don't know their. I mean, I know like three players, so it's like I can't hate them yet because I just don't know them.
Used car salesman Underwood, man, getting the cars off the lot, bringing in the new inventory.
yeah, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, but no, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. It's exciting time for this podcast when we start mixing football and basketball, and then we get solely into basketball. But I guess it's always it's an exciting time, but also like. And I'm usually a glass half full type of guy, but it's also like started basketball season. I'm like, oh man, it's gonna go by so fast, and then like I have no Purdue sports
yeah.
to fall because I just don't. I'm not one that follows the spring sports. I mean, I'll root for baseball and all the sports to do well. I just don't follow them like I do men's basketball and football. Yeah. So it's just amazing how fast the seasons go,
yeah.
and then it just takes forever for them to come back. But that's why you were awesome last year. Kept reminding me and everybody else. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the yeah. process. Enjoy the season.
That worked out. Yeah, that worked out.
I got to remind myself to do that again, really every season going forward, even yeah. though this Purdue football season is testing my patience of any sort to enjoy anything. But I have a good feeling about Saturday. I have a good yeah. feeling about Saturday. And before we flip into football talk, any last thoughts you want to, I mean, we'll be covering basketball from here on out, but any last things you want to talk about?
I guess because we're not going to have a podcast before Monday yeah. opener. So obviously we have Grand Valley State tomorrow. Oh. I will not be there. I was offered tickets, but I had other stuff going on. So Monday, I hate that it's a 6 o'clock
it's, game. That's so dumb.
Got work, man. I mean, I'm glad
to be doing another podcast there. Now. I have to dual monitors right here. Got dual monitors, so.
Yeah. 6 o'clock. It'll be cool because it's they'll unveil the banner. Score prediction, player of the game, and we'll say spicy take. We can get spicy with it.
Yeah, we can. Are we doing tomorrow's too, or just Monday?
Yeah, just Monday.
Yeah. Just nobody get hurt tomorrow, please.
Yeah, just nobody get hurt. Take care of business.
I don't even care. Yeah, even if we lost, I really wouldn't. Well, no, I would care, but I wouldn't.
It would be, yeah. Yeah, just the –
I think Michigan State do it and still make a Final Four. So, I know nothing about A&M Corpus Christi. We've seen them come to Mackey before. Yeah, it was a while ago. Okay. Yeah, I was in attendance for that game. It was before you and I were in college, I believe. I think okay. we were in high school. They came. I don't know what the connection was there, but anyways, I'm going Purdue 88, Texas A&M Corpus Christi 59. I think Purdue takes care of business. The environment rattles A&M Corpus Christi. Yeah. The Green Wave. I know that's too lame. I think there's a Green Wave. God, I don't know now. Or the Waves, something. Waves. I'm gonna fact check myself here in a bit. But player of the game. I'm going with Fletcher Lawyer and spicy take. Purdue hits 10 threes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go Purdue 93, Texas A&M 67. Walk-ons get in at the end and kind of give up a couple buckets so we don't get that 30-point victory. Player of the game. Starting out strong, I'm going to go with Braden Smith. He was incredible against Creighton, put up 30, 31, something like that. I'm going to say he gets about 27, though, in this game. Spicy take. Man. Let's go with there are four alley-oops between Colvin and Heidi.
I would like that. Those are two guys that the fans are worried about. I'm not. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was the scrimmage was a little tough just because, like, well, I don't know, like, if offensive. I mean, they weren't running sets, so that's one thing.
Right.
But there's obviously, yeah, like they can be. And then you also, too, like we're just not hearing about them as much, like from those who cover the team. Mm-hmm. But I think those guys, if they can, especially like going back to rebounding, if Heidi can be a dominant rebounder with his athleticism, same with Colvin, if he can be a great, because he could be, he has all the makings of a, could be a, just an all around dynamic player with his size and length and athleticism to be a great defender. And obviously, we've seen what he can do on the offensive side of the ball. But those guys are going to have to figure something out.
Yep, for sure. I lost my train of thought. That's awesome.
Choo-choo.
I had one more thought, but I lost it. Anyways, before we switch gears and talk to football, let me talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom has been serving Boilermakers since 1993. And they're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month while it's still October for two more days. So the pizza of the month is Oktoberfest. That is their pizza with amber ale, beer cheese, topped with cup and char sausage, pepperdew peppers, dill pickle slices, and mozzarella cheese, starting at just $14. So next time you are in town, which is hopefully tomorrow night, for the exhibition basketball game, or if not, hopefully it's Saturday for Purdue's matchup against Northwestern in football, stop in, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener and or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. All right, let's switch gears now and talk some Boilermaker football. Purdue had the bye week last week, and I'd say they came out victorious.
Yeah, I mean, here we're
no injuries.
Smith potentially or is going to be playing, which is awesome.
Yeah, he's listed on the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean it is what it is. I think this game's going to tell us a lot.
This is the big one.
Depending on how this game goes, if it's a blowout or if it's
competitive. If Purdue loses, it could be bad news for the coaching staff.
You're seeing if they just lose. So if they lose on a last field goal.
Well, if you put it in those terms, but I just think if they lose, It doesn't smell well. I just think, I mean, you look at the line right now, Northwestern's a 1-point favorite right now. I get it. Everybody's like, Purdue's not going to win another game. Purdue hasn't played a team closer to their level than Northwestern has since probably Oregon State.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, after that Purdue game, started playing a lot better. Yeah, they crapped the bed against Penn State the other night, but Wisconsin's still a better team. Nebraska's better than Purdue. Oregon's elite. I go back. Notre Dame's elite. I'm putting them elite again. They're thrashing people. Oregon State, there was no excuse. That should have been a better result than it was. And Northwestern's coming in 3-5. They looked good a few weeks ago at Maryland for their lone Big Ten win. But since then, they haven't looked very good. Their offense is
stinkers. They put up multiple games where they score like
their offense is not good.
Yeah.
Their defense is pretty solid.
Yeah,
but their defense, as Purdue's has happened, you know, they're on the field a lot, get tired, so you see them give up some points. But their defense still is their strength of their team. You remember this was a game last year Purdue should have had at Northwestern. It was a game Hudson Card did not play in. We saw Ryan Brown and Bennett Meredith take kind of revolving series all game long, which was kind of frustrating. But with all that said, sounds like Purdue's going to use two quarterbacks on Saturday as Hudson Card is cleared. Now, it feels like forever since we've seen Hudson Card play football. It's been about a month.
Yeah,
it has been about a month. I mean, he missed the Illinois game, missed the Oregon game, and then he had a bye week sprinkled in there. So it's been a little while. Interested to see what he can do with this quote unquote kind of new offense, new system. And I posed this question on our Twitter, and it's still open for three more days. So please, everybody listening or watching, please go vote. I said, we know both are going to play on Saturday versus Northwestern, but who should start? Ryan Brown or a Hudson Card. So far, we've got 56 votes. 73% of the Boiler Breakdown Nation is saying saying Ryan Brown should start.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame just from, I mean, obviously the carryover effect from he's looked competent against an actual legit team versus, you know, Hudson Card's best game was Indiana State. It hasn't really looked good since. Not saying that's all his fault. I think we've seen, you know, that's what I do wonder, you know, the difference between the two is, you know, when Brown has no option, he just decides to take it. And
yes.
Right, with Hudson, I feel like he tries to keep going back to his progression because maybe he doesn't want to run as much. So that's where I get a little worried with Hudson. But also Hudson has a much better arm.
Yeah, no, they kind of cancel out. Ryan's bigger. Maybe more vocal, but and he can run, but Hudson throws a better ball. And yeah. I think that, like Ryan Walters said, they both admit to that. Going back to Hudson, you know, that's one thing Jason Simmons and Ryan Walters kept saying after the Illinois game is, you know, Hudson Card could have pulled this game plan off too. I wonder if his running wasn't so much to try to prevent injury as it was to Graham Harrell telling him not to run.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We
saw a lot last year, early in the season.
Towards the end of the year. Yeah.
He wasn't running. And then towards the end of the year, he was just kind of, screw it. Yeah. So I'd like to kind of see that now. I mean, at this point, you know, we're 1-6, like next loss officially knocks. I mean, I guess it doesn't officially knock you out of bowl contention, but we know the schedule. Yeah. We know the schedule is not what we're fighting for at this point.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of go back and forth. I go back and forth on who I'd want to start, honestly. Like, I like both guys. I believe in both guys. I'm going to be honest. Like, I know some people probably scoff at that for me saying I believe in Hudson Card, but I really do.
No, I'm right there with you.
He's got talent. He's just, unfortunately, he just doesn't have the help. And hopefully with a CJ Smith out there, if we can take the top off a little bit, like that can, I think we'd be amazed at what can happen if there's at least that threat that someone could go deep.
Personally, I would start Hudson Card. And I know probably a lot of people shut the podcast off to be saying that, but I just think he gives Purdue a better chance to win. I like what Ryan Brown, I'm fine with playing them both, but I think Hudson will get a majority of the snaps and we'll see Ryan Brown sprinkled in.
Yeah.
But what Purdue's got to be careful at, what I'm going to say here is really good. I say they know what they're doing more than us, but some people out there on Knuckleheads just know they know more than this coaching staff. Yeah. They got to be careful of when you bring Ryan Brown in, you can't just do run plays.
Yeah, I was saying, like, we had that. Who we had that with? It was with Jack Plummer. When AOC and Jack Plummer, Jack Plummer was in, it was a run. Like, it was like in the stands, we're like, oh, we're running the ball. That pissed me off when we did that. Yep. So it's like, there's just no, I said, if we know it and sitting in the stands, like,
exactly.
You guarantee the defensive coordinator on the other side of the ball making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, knows too. Yep.
How many times have we seen that in the stands when Purdue's on defense? The other team puts in a running quarterback. We know it. They know it. We still can't stop them.
Yeah.
We've seen that multiple times too, especially goal line situations. We're like, they bring that guy in the goal line just to run. Everybody in the freaking stands knows what's going on. They still go untouched in the end zone.
No, I still
seen that a lot
on the video game either. I see. I'm like, oh, they put a running back in. They're going to run it. And I still can't stop it.
Nope. So, but looking at Northwestern Purdue historically, this is a series that's been really kind to Purdue overall, all time. Purdue has 53 wins, the 34 losses is only one tie. In Ross State, Purdue has 23 wins, 14 losses. At Evanston, they have 29 wins, 20 losses, and one tie. Last year's game in Evanston was a loss for the Boilermakers, 23-15. We hit on that earlier. 2 years ago, Purdue won an ugly 17-9 game, which I'll never forget. Jalen Graham high stepping his way in the end zone on a pick six and getting unsportsmanlike conduct, and it made the game a lot closer than it should have been. Because it should have been blowout city at that point. Year before that, Purdue killed Northwestern 32-14 up in Wrigley Field.
That was there. That was fun.
2020, I forgot about this game. AOC got hurt this game. Now I remember we wore the throwbacks, the Rose Bowl jerseys, lost 27-20. Before that, Purdue did win in 2019 in Evanston, 24-22. That was AOC's first start.
Yep.
But before that, Northwestern had a 5-game win streak against Purdue. So they kind of had Purdue's number there for a little while.
Yeah, but sure had that squad rolling for a few years.
But you also go back from 97 through 2003, Purdue won all those matchups. So because Northwestern was they used to be a protected opponent for Purdue when the Big Ten was 11 teams. Illinois wasn't even protected, even though they were a rival trophy. It was Northwestern and Indiana were the two Purdue played every year for some reason. Which most years I
will. Did we play them a Rose Bowl year then? Did we?
Cause yeah, we beat them.
Okay, so that was a team that we needed them to lose, though, right? Like, in order for us to win, was that the?
Yeah, they lost to a one-win Iowa team.
Yeah.
After we lost to Michigan State.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2000, we won in Evanston 41-28.
Okay.
Yeah, we won, well, like I said, 97 through 03. Yeah. Yeah. Then 04, that was part of the heartbreak losses after the Orton fumble. Yeah. Lost 13-10. Taylor Stubblefield arguably had the Hail Mary in his hands in the end zone. I don't recall. I think he technically had the catch, but it was before plays were really reviewable like they are today. I think if I remember that correctly. I just remember I was in middle school. I was 12 years old. I remember playing football outside during the game or with some friends and my dad coming out and telling me about the result or something. So, I don't know. But no, looking forward to it. I will be in the house in this one. Wasn't at Oregon, but will be there. It's noon kickoff, Big Ten Network. Weather looks nice for November. Game looks mid-60s and sunny. So as of right now. So, spicy bowl prediction for the game.
Are we wearing these new? I'm assuming the new helmets are for this game, right?
Thank you for talking about that. I forgot. Yeah, that Purdue. There was no rumors, no spoilers or anything. They just all of a sudden release a sharp white helmet today with gold P. I like
them. Much better than the previous white helmet we got during the Hazlett that had the.
Oh God, those were awful with the train.
Which I will say, and I hate this. Just because with like the new uniforms. The new blackouts, the new white helmet. Like, oh my gosh, this kind of does feel like the Hazel era, like where everything just sucked. It was like, hey, we got all these new uniform combinations. It's the first thing I thought of, and I hate that. But yeah, this one looks, it's simple. It's just the normal helmet, normal P, but yeah, it just looks really sharp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume. There was no like.
So are we wearing white? It seems like really stupid if we wear black, I feel like.
Are we debuting a new uniform altogether? I have no idea. Like, this wasn't hinted at all. That's what I loved about it. They just dropped it like in the middle of the morning this morning. It was awesome. Shout out to Purdue's equipment department for football. They're doing some cool stuff. But yeah, spicy bold prediction.
CJ Smith, 2 touchdowns.
Oh, I love it. He would live up to
one
the hype.
One of them is 50 yard or plus.
Oh, I won't know what to do in stands. I'm going Hudson Card throws for at least 3 touchdowns, no picks. I think he comes out strong. He's been on the sidelines now. He's heard all the chatter. And he knows if he doesn't play up to par, they'll get him the hook now. Now they got a backup that can come in and play too. So I'm feeling good about this one. I call me crazy. It's definitely the Purdue's best chance for any on the schedule for a win.
Yeah.
And like Chad Mooney said, win or lose, at least the helmets are going to be legit.
Yeah.
I know coming off a bye week, it didn't go well last time against Notre Dame, but Notre Dame's a different monster than Northwestern. Yeah. I'm feeling really good about it. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm feeling really good about it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there. I won't be able to, I'm going to try and follow it on my phone. Please God.
That's all I can say. No. Yeah. It's been rough. It's been rough. But, looking at Northwestern, Jack Lausch is their quarterback. I believe I spelled his last name correctly. He leaves their team with 870 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. Their backup, Mike Wright, has 354 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. But Lausch has 50 carries for 192 yards on the ground, 1 touchdown. Cam Porter, their running back, 86 carries, 370 yards on the ground, 5 touchdowns. Receiving. Bryce Kurtz leads their team with yards, 414, but no touchdowns. AJ Henning leads them with interceptions with 36. 379 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's the main guy I think Purdue needs to focus on. Like I said, defensive-wise, they have 17 sacks on the year. Interceptions, they have 7. And forced fumbles, they have forced 4 fumbles, and they have recovered. That's not math. That's not math in their ESPN. Forced 4 and recovered 6. Unless they recovered 2 of their own, and that's what you're counting. That doesn't make sense at all. So their defense can get after it a little bit. Yeah, that's not math in their ESPN, idiots.
Your problem is your coverage.
Yeah, I know. So we'll save our prediction for a little bit. Let's look around the Big Ten real quick. Last time I knew, 6 of the 8 road teams were favored in the Big Ten this weekend.
The Yankees score a run, Tan. FYI.
Woohoo! They can score. Minnesota 3-point favorites at number 24, Illinois.
I am shocked by this line.
Me too. Do they know something we don't know?
That's
on my herd or something?
Yeah, that's. I mean, Illinois got blitzed by Oregon. Who does? I mean,
there's no shame in that. Yeah, I mean, Oregon's.
Give me Illinois.
I'm taking Illinois as well. Yeah, if Minnesota wins, they're bowl eligible. I've talked a lot of crap about PJ Fleck earlier this year, and he shut me up. So good for Boat Boy, I guess. Game of the week, game day, Fox Big Noon, all that. Number 4, 6-1, Ohio State at number 3, 7-0, Penn State. Ohio State is a 3.5-point favorite. Can James Franklin win the big one? He won a nice medium-sized game, night game at Camp Randall, which Wisconsin's starting to get a reputation, I think, of can't win the big night games, in my opinion, at least. But can James Franklin finally get the big one?
No. I think Ohio State bounces back after a tough win against Nebraska.
Yep.
People were saying Ohio State's pretty mid, but it's like they took Oregon to the final play. They're pretty good. I am mad that this is where the new TV contracts are ruining this type of stuff, because this should be a whiteout 10 times out of 10. And the fact this is a noon game is a blessing to Ohio State. It's still going to be stupid there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bonkers. But it should be a good game. I hope it'll watch it. I think Ohio State wins. I think it's a 7-10-point win.
Yeah, I think it's close through 3 quarters. Ohio State pulls away in the 4th. I just, James Franklin, you gotta do it for me to believe in you, dude. You just gotta do it. Number 1, Oregon, 14.5-point favorites at the defending champion 5-3 Michigan Wolverines.
I'm gonna say Oregon covers, but I'm gonna say by not much. I think for some reason Michigan, Oregon's first trip to the big house in I assume in a while. I'm gonna say it's like a 17-point win.
I'll go Oregon by 20. They're so good.
They are so good.
UCLA 2-5 at 5-3 Nebraska. Nebraska's a 6.5-point favorite. I'm surprised they're not favorites by more. They gotta be sighing some relief here. Like, all right, finally we get an opponent we should beat. Because if they win, they're bowl eligible for the first time since 2016.
Yeah, I think they cover that pretty easily.
I did too. Number 13, 8-0 Indiana at 4-4 Michigan State. Indiana's a 7.5-point
favorite. We're talking about too. This is not
3:30 on the Peacock. Let's face facts. Indiana's got 4 games left. They're 8-0. But this is their toughest road challenge, and everybody's like, Michigan State's not that good. They're 500. I get that. The other 2 road games have been UCLA and Northwestern, which Indiana arguably had as many fans, if not more. Fans from both those schools. So this will be their toughest road test to date.
Yeah. Obviously, the big question is their quarterback back? I know there was some optimism he may be playing. I think that's the big key for this game. I'm going to assume he is playing, and because of that, I'm going to pick Indiana to win, unfortunately.
I'm taking Sparty. Sparty. They
right.
Notre Dame's on a bye this week, so.
Thank God.
They can't piss me off. Colorado's on a bye. They can't piss me off. Illinois still can by beating Minnesota.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Let Illinois, if Illinois has to win for Indiana to lose, by God, let it happen. Wake me up from this nightmare. I still think they have to go 11-1 to make the playoff, though. I think if they lose 2 games, somebody will jump them.
I think so.
The fact that they're 8-0 and they're not in the top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, what the, I'm not just being a hater. What they've done is impressive. They've won every game by 14 points or more. They haven't trailed at all. You can't sit here and say that.
They've made statements for sure.
Yes, they have. Signetti's an ass, but he backs up everything he says. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. Two more. USC, 2.5-point favorite at Washington. Both teams are 4-4.
USC, did they win this last weekend?
7:30 kickoff. That's weird. So it's 4:30 kickoff out Pacific time.
So USC did this game at 7:30, but their game on Friday was 11. I'm gonna take Washington.
I am too, just because it's at home.
Yeah,
I don't know. Then Wisconsin, this game's a 7:30 NBC. 5-3 Wisconsin at 5-3 Iowa. Iowa's 3-point favorite.
I think. Oh, it's Wisconsin Minnesota's the rivalry game. I'm sure this is the rivalry too. But
this is the rivalry for the Floyd of Rosedale, that big fat pig trophy.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me Iowa.
I'm taking the Hawkeyes as well. I think they
can score at home.
Yeah, they did. Their offense is, and their defense is still good. Especially, it wasn't too good 2 weeks ago at Michigan State, but top 25 games, not that greatest week at all. A lot of big margins. I'm trying to find a decent one. My God, they're all bad. Number 10, Texas A&M, 2.5-point favorites at South Carolina.
Texas A&M, yeah.
Yeah, A&M's rolling, man. They're playing really good. Old buddy Jeff Brohm got lucky to win last week. He's 5-3. They traveled to number 11, 6-1 Clemson, who is a 10.5-point favorite.
Clemson. Clemson has to keep winning to get to the playoff. Yep.
They look so bad week one, but they've been good since. And your only top 25 against top 25 matchup outside of Ohio State, Penn State is undefeated number 18th, 7-0 Pittsburgh at number 27-1 SMU, who's a 7.5-point favorite.
So if they're 7-0 and 18, who the hell have they played? If Indiana's 8-0,
let's see here. They have played
Kent State at Cincinnati.
Kent State at Cincinnati, West Virginia, Youngstown State at North Carolina, California. See, that's wow. Give Purdue that schedule, please.
Yeah. Yeah, that explains it. Give me.
They do have Clemson and at Louisville, but they don't play Miami.
Wow.
You probably wish they played Florida State this year.
I think they get knocked off.
SMU. Yeah, SMU. I like SMU as well. And Purdue, Northwestern, score prediction and MVP. About forgot.
Pick of the Boilers the first time in a couple weeks. 24-17.
I'll take it. I am picking Purdue 27-13.
Okay.
Comfortable win. Defense actually plays solid. Everybody plays pretty well. MVP, I'm going with Hudson Card. I said he throws for at least 3 touchdowns, 0 picks, so he's my MVP.
Kyjan Jenkins. You reach out.
All right. Webby, let everybody know where they can go get some great, comfortable Purdue apparel.
Absolutely. That would be the shop. They've been bringing hometown apparel to the fans since 2011. That's over a decade now, which is gross. Started out in garages. Now they've got 3 retail locations across the Indianapolis area, whether you're Carmel, Broad Ripple, or downtown, for you to stop in at. But if you can't, you can go to their website, theshoppenny.com, use promo code breakdown. You get 25% off your entire order. Everything, anything. Anything and everything.
Yep, you can't go wrong. They got great stuff. They keep coming out with new stuff. I'm sure they're going to do a basketball drop probably next week. So be on the lookout for that. And we'll put on our socials if they come out with some new Purdue stuff. So, well, Webby, it's a fun time of year with basketball getting started and football still going on, even though it hasn't been very fun at all. But let's boiler up, hammer down, beat whatever Grand Valley State's called, beat the Wildcats, and beat the Islanders. I'm an idiot. They're not the Waves. They're the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Islanders.